Hey, good morning, Northwoods Online. My name's Hope. I'm the online pastor here, and I am so excited to welcome you to Next Gen Weekend.
And I'm Kayla. I work here in student life. We're so excited you're here, and we've got some friends with us today.
Yeah. Can you guys wave hi? We have Aria and Tristan to help us out. So, Aria, I have a question. How do we want to tell people hi today?
Hi.
Yeah, we want them to say hi, and you can wave and just put it in the chat. We would love to get to know who you are and where you're watching from today.
That's right. Now, Tristan, it's your turn. I have a question for you. Are you ready? Okay. How do we talk to God?
Prayer.
That's right.
Good job.
We talk to God through prayer, and we have a prayer team here every weekend online standing by. So if you have something you're going through that you need prayer for or just need a little encouragement, you can drop that in the chat or on Northwoods Online. You can request prayer with the button.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, every weekend we want to take an opportunity and say hello to, I think we have some new people here. So what do we want to say to them?
Some brand new people. What do you tell them?
Hi.
Hi! We are so glad that you're here. And again, we would just love to get to connect with you a little bit more. So go ahead and text new to that number on your screen. That's going to put you in communication with me, and I can answer any questions you might have about Northwoods.
That's right. And if you've been at Northwoods for a while, you're a part of our family, you know about the connection card. So go ahead, get out your phone, pull up the app, and pull up the connection card, and let us know that you're tuning in with us for Next Gen Weekend. Now, guys, I think we've gotten through all the important stuff. So it's time for service. Are we ready?
One, two, three. Next Gen Weekend starts right now.
Matter what it takes, I'll salvation. You broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you.
Excited to be worshiping with you and singing about Jesus with you today. Now, some people would look at us and think, what are they doing out of bed on a Sunday morning singing about Jesus? Especially people our age. And you might be wondering, who are all these new faces? Well, this is Next Gen Weekend, our opportunity as the next generation to show you guys what God is doing in our lives. But there is a reason for our singing today. We are praising the name of Jesus. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus' name holds power. It's not simply a title. When we say his name, it identifies who's in the room, the one who's exalted and is worthy of all of our praise. This verse says that one day, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and praise him. When we say Jesus' name, powerful things happen. Miracles happen. Life change happens. Revival happens. So I encourage you today, if you're coming in and you're struggling, or whatever walk of life you're in, I just encourage you to declare the name of Jesus over that situation and praise him for what happens when we sing his name.
Heal. As we wait, seek your face. Come and make your throne upon our praise. Here in this place, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed.
Together. Father, we thank you for the truth that there is power in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you have given us access to that power through your Son. Lord, whatever darkness is going on, whatever plans the enemy is trying to unfold here, Lord, we say in the name of Jesus that it has to go. Lord, that everything will tremble at the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare and agree with what we've sung today, Lord, that yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory, Lord. That's all we want, Lord, is for the name of Jesus to be glorified. For the Son to be lifted up, for you to be lifted up and to get all the praise that you deserve, Lord. Lord, we give this time together to you, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen, 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 amen. And thank you, church, for being here. We're so excited that you have joined us for Next Gen Weekend. You can go ahead and have a seat. My name is Kayla, and I work here in Student Life. And again, we are just so glad to have you here with us.
Hey, y'all, I'm Gracie. I'm one of the students here at Northwoods, and I want to say welcome as well, and thanks for being here. Now, for those of you who are new to Northwoods, we are so, so glad you're here, and we'd love to learn more about you and help you learn more about us. And the way that we do that is if you would text NEW to the number on your screen, and we'll follow up with you. That number is 833-550-1550. Next, pull out your device and open up the Northwoods app. To some of you, this may be familiar, but we as Northwoods love connecting with you. So fill out the connection card whether you're here on campus or online. We want to know you're with us and answer any questions you may have. And for those of you who would like prayer, you can also drop your prayer request in the Northwoods app, and we have an amazing prayer team who would love to pray with you. So check that out.
That's right. We got lots of things you can do in the Northwoods app. There's so many things there. One of those things is giving. You guys hear us say this every week, but it has been a year since I have gotten to stand here on this stage and personally thank each and every one of you for your faithful giving to Northwoods. You guys just give yourselves a round of applause real quick. You guys are so, so generous. I know you guys hear that from us, but really from the bottom of our hearts over at Student Life, thank you for your generosity with your service, with your resources. It is making a difference in students' lives, and I get to see that front row seat every single week. As always, you can give online at northwoods.church/give. You can drop it at any one of our campuses in one of the boxes. You can use the app, as we've mentioned, or you can throw the check in the mail.
Now we're going to take a look at the upcoming Sundays. On August 15th, Pastor Cal is back on the stage to bring the word. And again, the following Sunday, August 22nd, to celebrate lake baptisms. So if you have never publicly proclaimed your faith in Christ, we would love to be celebrating you on August 22nd. Now's the time to take the next step, make the decision, and sign up at northwoods.church/baptism. We hope to see you there.
That's right. And now I know we've been having a lot of fun this morning, a lot of energy. Hopefully our team here has woken you up a little bit as you came into church. But we also know that there are some of you who are joining us, whether that's here in the room or online, that you're walking through some really tough stuff. I don't know what it is, whether that's big or small, but you have brought something in, maybe that just happened to you this week, or maybe that's been going on for years. Whatever that is, I want to tell you about our Northwoods prayer team. We have an awesome prayer team that every single week makes time to pray with the people of our church. And they would love the opportunity to pray with you, to encourage you, whatever that circumstance is. I don't know if you guys remember the message that we had a few weeks ago where we looked at that question. We asked ourselves that question, do you want to be well? If that is something, if there's something going on that you're like, yeah, I want help with this. I want to be well. I want to be free from this. I don't want to carry this anymore. I would encourage you to head online and get signed up for a prayer appointment.
You can find more information about anything we've talked about at our website or in the mobile app.
That's right. Now, I'm sure many of you have gotten to this point and you're like, okay, it's starting to be a little normal again. Nothing crazy has happened in a few minutes here. We're on the descend, right? Service is okay. We're back to normal. No more of that crazy next gen stuff we got going on. I hate to break it to you, but that's just not true. There are more students here to help us with Next Gen Weekend that you guys haven't even seen yet. So I'm going to go grab my friends. I'm going to hand it back to the worship team, and I would invite you to stand on your feet for one last song.
The roughest water, I won't go under, I won't drown. When I'm in over my head, I know that you won't let me down. When I'm broken and down to nothing, I know that you are always up to something good. I know that you are always up to something good. You'll make a way, whatever it takes. Nothing in love more than good. I know that you are always up to something good. The deepest valley, you go before me, you are here. For I know you'll never leave me, your love surrounds me, I won't fear. When I'm broken and down to nothing, I know that you are always up to something. Something good. Through the darkest night, you are on my side. You're always faithful. Through my fear and doubt, you will lead me out. You're always able. Darkest night, you are on my side. Always up to something good. I know that you are always up to something good. You'll make a way, whatever it takes. Nothing in love won't endure. I know that you are always up to something good. Make a way, whatever it takes. Nothing you love won't endure. I know that you are always up to something good.
I have some questions for you. The first one is, how much does Jesus love you?
All the numbers.
All the numbers? Really? How many is that, do you think?
133, 144, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 30.
How much does Jesus love you?
Like 25.
156.
That's a lot of love. God must be pretty big then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Taller than this house.
Taller than this house. What do you think God does all day long?
Fixes cars.
Heals people.
Heals people? Okay. Why do you think he does that?
Because he's a miracle.
He's a miracle. Okay.
Well, I know.
Okay.
He walks and walks for people.
Work.
Work. What do you think he does for work?
Build a house.
Build a house. Okay. What kind of house? Do you think it would be like a princess castle, or do you think it would be a skyscraper? No. What kind of house?
Like a church house.
Like a church house. Oh, okay.
That's huge. Bigger than this, though.
Bigger than this? How big? Really?
Yeah.
Loves you, me.
He loves you? All day long? Really? Who is Jesus?
The Son of God.
God. The Savior.
Son of God.
The Son of God.
The Savior!
What kind of things can you talk to God about?
Stuff that you're scared.
How much you love him.
What can you talk to God about? What can you tell him?
We can tell him about our day.
You can tell him about your day? Wow. What are you going to tell him about tonight?
That I had fun.
What did you have fun doing today that you could tell God about?
Doing this.
You guys give it up for our students, Next Generation here. Always great, Next Gen Weekend. God the Mechanic. Man, I like that one. Well, again, if you haven't met you, my name is John, and want to welcome you here. I think I missed the tie-dye memo today for Next Gen Weekend, but I think I'm good. But hey, just for the next moment here, I want to introduce you to our speaker today, who's actually our new student life pastor here at Northwoods. Back in the beginning of 2021, back in January, February, we started interviewing candidates for the student life pastor position. This is a role that I've been just kind of stepping out of over the last several months and more into the senior pastor role here. And one of the candidates that we interviewed was a man named Bruce. And as we were interviewing Bruce, and I've told him this, I really sensed in my heart the Lord saying, I am supplying the provision for the vision. You know, our vision here at Northwoods is to see churches planted. We talk about every chair a church. We want to see every chair in this auditorium represent a church planted globally someday. And then we also talk about wanting to see 20 churches planted by 2030 locally. And as we were talking with Bruce, not only did you find that he has a passion for students, has a passion to see students equipped to live their life for Jesus Christ, but he has a passion to see students equipped to build up the church. And I just really sensed that with him. And the more we got to know him, I did find out later as we were going through the interview process that he was a Patriots fan, which did put a little bit of a check in my spirit. I had to press pause for just a moment. And then I realized, you know, it could be a lot worse. Could be a bear. I won't even go there. I already heard someone say, hey, you know where I'm going. But no, we spent more time with him, we just felt like this is the guy. And he really has been a gift to us here at Northwoods. And I know you're going to enjoy getting to hear Bruce today. And so will you help me to welcome our new student life pastor here at Northwoods, Bruce Nielsen.
Thanks, sir. Thank you, Pastor John. With the whole Patriots thing, I did set up a prayer appointment for you so that you can deal with that. All right, good morning, Northwoods. It is great to have you joining with us today, whether you're here live in the house, whether you are watching from one of our other campuses or from somewhere around the world online. We are glad you are with us. Well, today is Next Gen Weekend, and our service this morning has been featuring representatives from our Discovery, Quest, and Converge student ministries. You've seen them out in the parking lot. Nice parking lot job. I hope you guys appreciate that. But they've been out there greeting you at the door, making your coffee. leading us in worship. And so just exciting to see students serving. Serving because, number one, they love Jesus, and two, because they want to be part of the kingdom of God. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of it. You get to see Pastor Chris there in the video, and we are just thrilled to be able to serve in this capacity. Listen, I just want to say to parents, grandparents, those of you that are involved in raising children, I want to say thank you. And what we do here at Northwoods, we hope complements what you're doing in the home, where we partner with you to, again, see the next generation of kingdom builders and Jesus followers. So it's exciting. I also want to make sure that I say that a big thank you. We have an incredible staff here that works with children from the time they're born through high school and beyond. I'm really fortunate to come in with such an incredible group of people who are already serving, who have been serving faithfully. So I want to make sure that I thank them for their dedication, and they're committed to helping work with your children as well. Well, John kind of already gave a little introduction, but I have something a little bit different prepared.
Hello, my name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
It has been 3 weeks since my last fish, on my honour, or may I be chopped up and made into soup.
You're an inspiration to all of us.
Amy.
All right. So, you know, with a name like Bruce, you got to use the Nemo movie. So it's just, it's important. Well, hey, as the student life pastor, I'm excited to be able to share it with you here this morning. First time in the auditorium, a little bit of pressure, you know, you got to follow in the footsteps of the preaching trio of Rickner, Rickner, and Rickner. You know, it kind of sounds like a law firm. Well, to use a sports analogy, you know, a lot of athletes, they look at, you know, film footage to prepare for the big game. Well, in preparing for this, you know, I decided to spend some time watching the Rickner highlight reel. And if there's one thing that I walked away from was I need to have an acrostic, right? So it's like you just need to. So, you know, I put my message together and I said, all right, I think I have 5 points that I want to share. And so, you know, what are some, you know, acrostics that I can use? I came up with three, but they were all rejected, and I'm still not quite sure why. Maybe you can help me out. Here is the first one I came up with. So, yeah, that one, it got tossed. So it's like, okay, I'll go back. Let me think through. Well, how about this one? This is a good word to use. Yep, that one got, you know, cut as well. And so I prayed some more. I watched some more Rickner highlight reel, and I said, okay, this one surely will be acceptable. Yeah. So all that to say, no acrostic today, but I'll work on it for next year's Next Gen Weekend. If you have your Bibles, if you would please turn to Matthew chapter 18. It'll be up on the screen for your convenience. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Follow along as I read. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we go into your word this morning, I thank you for it. You gave it to us because you love us. You desire for us to know you more and how we are to live. So as we look at this passage, just allow your spirit to illuminate your truth in our hearts and minds. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to openly and freely dive in to the word of God. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, today's message is titled Childlike Faith. Now, Matthew chapter 18, probably for most of us, is most well known for the passage that tells us how we are to deal with someone who sins against us, the Matthew 18 principle. But today, we're gonna look at how Jesus uses the simplicity of a child's faith to remind us of our need to approach the Christian life without hindrances. So I want to start by giving you just a little bit of a context of this passage. So in the chapter before, Matthew chapter 17, Jesus experiences his transfiguration. As they're coming down from the mountain, he comes across a young boy who is demon-possessed, and he heals him. Later on in chapter 17, Jesus predicts his death. And then chapter 17 ends there in Capernaum, and Jesus is addressing the issue of paying taxes, which he actually uses children as an example in that teaching as well. So now we come to chapter 18, and his disciples ask this question: who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because Jesus has predicted his death just recently, some wonder, maybe they were starting to say, so when he's gone, who is going to take over? Who's going to lead? So who is the greatest here? Disciples might still be anticipating an earthly kingdom when Jesus was talking about the spiritual kingdom that would come later. Now, this is not the only time that this question of greatness has come up with the disciples. Let me give you two examples. In Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 30, the scene is the Last Supper. Jesus has just said, one of you sitting here with me is going to betray me. So the disciples go from asking, well, who is it? Is it me? Is it you? Is it I? To going into, again, asking one another, who is the greatest? And in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, it's the story where James and John asked Jesus to be seated on either side of him in his glory. So this concept of wanting to know who's going to be great, who's going to be your number two, seems to be a question that the disciples are needing an answer to. But the way Jesus answers their question was probably not how they expected. He answers by calling a child over to him. Most likely they were at someone's house and the child was most likely the child of the master of the house. Jesus brings the child into the group where he's with his disciples and uses this child as an illustration. Now, side note, notice the child did not hesitate to come when he was called. Now, that's a skill that my parents wish that I had mastered when I was younger. I was not always really obedient to come when I was called. I grew up in a neighborhood. There were probably about 10 or 12 boys my age, and we'd be outside playing from the time the sun went up till the time the sun went down and longer. And, you know, every once in a while you would hear the echoing voices of different parents calling their son's name out to come home for dinner, come home, you know, for the end of the day. And my mom was one of those. You know, she'd call, Bruce, time to come home. And, you know, I was the kid who either said 5 more minutes, but really meant, you know, that's just the first 5 minutes. I'm going to be asking for more. Or I wouldn't answer at all, you know. And my mom, she had a great singing voice, but, you know, I'm sure it was a strain on her voice to keep calling out, Bruce, come home, over and over again. And then there was this one day. And sorry, it's a little hard to talk about because it's still, you know, when I think about it, the hair, what little hair I have on the back of my neck and head still stand on end. But I heard this sound that would change my view of needing to come home when my parents called. My mom went out and bought a cowbell. And she would stand out on the back door and she would start ringing the cowbell. And, you know, I'm convinced that Christopher Walken was in our house coaching her, saying, wow, you know, he's not coming. You need more cowbell. And she'd just ring it louder and louder and louder. And all the kids would start mooing, moo. And boy, I tell you, that was enough. I was home. And so I knew in the future, you know, if my mom called me once, I went. Otherwise, I'd face the wrath of the cowbell. So, all right, before I go any further, I just want to point out that Jesus demonstrated his incredible love for children many times in his earthly ministry. Here in Matthew 18, we see Jesus using children as an illustration and showing his love for them, calling a child and embracing him to teach a lesson. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus raises the son of a mother, a young man. He had died. Jesus raised him from the dead. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Fun fact that two of the three people that Jesus rose from the grave in his earthly ministry were young people. And then in Matthew 19, the very next chapter, when Jesus rebukes his disciples because they were trying to keep the children from him, and he said, no, bring the children to me so that he could heal them and love on them. So this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answers and says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So in the time we have left, I want to break down this answer for us. We're going to have some special guests that are going to be joining us throughout our time here today. But I want to start by saying first and foremost that childlike is not the same as childish. Let me say that again, because Jesus calls us to have childlike faith. So childlike is not the same as childish. When Jesus says become like little children, he's not implying that we simply act up. He's also not implying that we revert back to acting like little children behaviorally, but he's talking about a sense of genuine, unhindered faith that children have. Google Dictionary defines childlike as having good qualities associated with a child. We're going to be looking at three this morning. The same source defines childish as simply silly and immature. Childlike faith embraces an understanding of our need for God, our dependency upon God, and our place before God, seeing him as the Almighty and as our authority. Where childish simply refers to one who simply refuses to grow up. Now, of course, when we think of the world childish, we could probably all imagine children that we've seen, or maybe even our own, you know, who maybe have struggled and kind of thrown a little bit of a tantrum, acting up a little bit. For example, this little girl.
No, we gotta go to school, okay? I have to go to work, okay?
I want to go Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't have time.
Yeah, I want to go Dunkin' Donuts, Mommy.
No, we're at school, okay? Later we go to Dunkin' Donuts,
okay? I want to go to school.
No, you have to go to school.
No.
You have to go to school.
She's taking off her clip.
She better not take off her clip. Your hair's going to fall out. You take off your clip.
See, I'm not to school.
What?
I'm not in school.
We're going to school right now. We got Dunkin' Donuts later, okay?
I want you to get Dunkin' Donuts!
I don't know if you could hear it. It wasn't so much about school. She was okay going to school, but she needed her Dunkin' Donuts first. Now, I could totally relate. There are days that I want to act out like that if I don't get my Dunkin' Donuts. There's a group on staff here. God bless them. They work out. They're in a class called Barbells and Burpees. And again, I'm a poster boy that gravity works, okay? So, but I'm part of a lesser known group that I think is still important. I call it the caffeine and Boston cream group. And, you know, some say, that's not exercise. No, I want to prove you wrong. It is. I have my coffee in one hand, my Boston cream in the other. I'm doing curls, you know, I sip, I bite. So, you know, but anyway, so, you know, we can all probably relate to little children acting that way. But you know what? Childish behavior, well, it doesn't always age out with some people. For example, this fella.
This is Philip Wellman arguing a call. He's with the Mississippi Braves, and of course, that's nothing special right there. It's just everybody does that. Double A, though. I mean, he's a big time man. He's double A. That's a big time job. And he's lost his cool at this point, but it's about ready to go in a whole different direction.
When they get in each other's face, you just hope that they've used mouthwash. That's the only thing they hope for. And then, of course, this is classic vanilla right here.
He's getting dirty.
Oh, but you know what? Then he's going to cover the entire hole. Don't see white anywhere.
No, he's going to get dirty with it.
You know, my 5-year-old couldn't do a better job than that.
Pat it down. Now he's going to make a circle.
Oh, look at this. He's drawn out. That's where the plate is. Where the plate is. Just in case you forgot where the white stuff is. Yeah, he's gone. He's going to go to further. Then he's over to third. And now he's going to get a third base umpire.
He's going to try to get this base messy.
So this right here is a little Earl Weaver. Maybe a little Lloyd McClendon. Lloyd McClendon made that
Lloyd
famous.
Lloyd stole only one base.
He's going to steal more than one. His third base is already taken. He's covered home plate. Now he's crossed his third. So you know what? That's out of the mix. They got some extra bases in Mississippi, but he's not done. Now this is classic right here. Well, he must have been in the military or something right
there. What is he
Look
doing?
At this. This is, I'm a former military vet. This right here, you can't get better on a belly roll than that. A belly crawl than that.
Oh, grenade!
And it blows up right in front of the ump.
All right, so those are some examples of what we might consider childish behavior. But we're called to childlike faith. There's even more to that video. He goes on. He's not done there, so it's something to be seen. I do want to dispel one misconception, though. That there are those that think that having childlike faith is simply a way out of having to gain a deeper understanding of spiritual truth. We often misinterpret the concept of faith as seeing or believing without seeing to mean that we don't need to worry about, you know, understanding God mentally in our mind. That we just kind of walk around in blind ignorance. And that isn't true. We are called to love the Lord our God with what? All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And so having childlike faith doesn't mean that we simply walk around, you know. It means that we want to grow in a deeper understanding of who God is. It's not an excuse to avoid deeper biblical discussions, to not have the answers for spiritual questions. Listen, we don't have to have all the answers, but we should know how to study this book to have more answers and to be able to be ready in season and out of season to give an account. So this morning, we're going to look at three characteristics of childlike faith. One is a trusting spirit, two is inquisitive, and third is a forgiving heart. Before we dive into these, I want to introduce you to the first of three students that are going to be sharing with us this morning. Carson Killam is ready to start his senior year at Richwoods High School, and I got to sit down with Carson and ask him to share some of his earliest understandings of who God is and Jesus, and to share about how in a trusting spirit and childlike faith gave his life to Christ at an early age. So let's hear Carson's story.
I grew up in church with a family that we went to church a lot. So I grew up knowing God, learning about him in Discovery Land, reading the Bible all the time. When I was younger, I don't know the exact day, but I remember coming home one day from church and asking my parents a couple questions about a story I'd learned in church, Discovery Land. And they answered them, and then I realized I needed to ask God to come into a relationship with me. And so on that day, I created a relationship with God. I'm going to be a senior at Richwoods High School, and this past year, God has asked me to step out of my comfort zone and become a leader in school. Light for him, and it's kind of lonely not knowing a bunch of good kids at school, so Converge was a great help with that and helped me grow in my faith. I think Jesus is kind, compassionate, always willing to help others even if it would hurt him.
Praise the Lord. Pray for Carson as he seeks to be a witness and light. We're going to hear from two other students, and you'll hear me say it again. This is just a sample of the hearts that we have in our students who desire to live their life for Christ without shame and with boldness. So I'm encouraged to hear that. I love hearing testimonies of people who accepted Jesus at an early age. I've had a chance to work with students to help them develop their testimony. Listen, our testimony is probably one of the greatest tools we have to evangelize to others because it's our story. And I think people want to hear We want them to give their life to Christ, but a lot of times they want to know, well, what's it going to do for me? And when we share our story, we give them a firsthand account of the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited, but oftentimes, there are those who say, well, maybe my testimony isn't all that special. I kind of like Carson, grew up in a Christian home. I always knew about Jesus, and I accepted him with an early age. And I just want to say that kind of testimony is just as powerful. I know sometimes we get enamored with the testimonies of people who had been running and rebelling against God for years and had a road to Damascus experience. And those testimonies are powerful too. The bottom line is that every story of every person coming to faith in Christ is special. And it's unique to that person, and every testimony has the power to impact someone else's life. So I praise God that he calls some people at a young age and still pursues others when they are older. So the first thing that we're looking at here for childlike faith is a trusting spirit. This aspect of childlike faith is demonstrated by our understanding of our need for our Heavenly Father. As a child trusts his or her parents instinctively, naturally, without hesitation, we are to believe God is the provider of our needs and the caretaker of our being. When you trust your parents to protect you, you're free from the worry and fear that the enemy wants to use to try to choke the joy of our salvation away from us. I think Jesus touches upon this so beautifully in Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. They don't worry because they know their Heavenly Father takes care of them. God takes care of them. And then he says, and you, how much more important are you to God than the birds and the flowers? See, the older we get, sometimes the more cynical we can become. And our ability to trust God becomes less natural. And so Jesus is saying, you need to have childlike faith. You need to have a trusting spirit. You may not have all the answers, but you need to trust God and allow yourself to come to learn and know more about God, because he wants us to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. The second characteristic is inquisitive. Children are inquisitive. Did you love that video with Pastor Chris sitting down? So, by the way, David, great plug for your dad, there. So, mechanic, spot on. So, but I just love how children express their understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and just the joy they have in learning more and more about our Heavenly Father. That's one of the reasons I'm excited to be back in student ministry, because, getting to hang out with high schoolers and junior hires, it helps me keep up on my pop culture information, the 411, right, as you young kids would say, right, the 411. So, for example, you should have seen the look on my face when I realized that Ariana Grande is not a menu item at Taco Bell. Working with kids is good. You're all familiar with the game Fortnite, right? So, I'm a little bit behind the times. And so some of the guys at Converge were talking about getting together for Fortnite. And I said, awesome, I'll bring a bunch of blankets and some heavy books. So, that's not quite the Fortnite that they were talking about. So, but we learn, having childlike faith, it involves being inquisitive. Children are inquisitive. As a teacher, I would tell my students, there's no such thing as a silly question. Maybe the timing of the question may not be the best, but by asking questions, it fosters learning. And we learn by asking. And we serve a God who wants us to inquire about him, who wants us to ask him questions so that he can reveal to us in a more full way who he is, who we are, and what he has created us to do. Children are fascinated by learning new ideas. We saw, them answering some of the questions, but, questions that I've been asked, why is the sky blue? Why do some squirrels fly and some don't? And the great question, what happens when you put a bunch of Mentos into a 2-liter bottle of Coke? So maybe we should have demonstrated that here this morning. But anyways, I love how children are just willing and free to ask because they want to learn. And so that's part of having childlike faith, is that we approach God having a desire to learn. Childlike faith involves that desire to learn and our understanding, again, of who God is, who we are, and the purpose he has created us for. When Jesus tells us become like little children, he isn't saying, don't stop learning about me, but I want you to know how much I love you, what I have called for you. The last few weeks in Converge, which is our 7th through 12th grade ministry, we've been doing a series in the Psalms called Psalm a Day, and we've been encouraging our students and leaders to be reading a psalm every day. I wish I had more time to go into the importance of being in God's word. It is so important. It is where we get our strength. It's where we get our wisdom and knowledge. There are books in our bookstore that will help you if you're like, boy, just how do I develop a more consistent time in God's word? There are classes in our school of ministry that will help you develop a stronger, more purposeful time in God's word. I'm convinced, in my opinion, that if I had 100 lifetimes, that we could never get every bit of truth that is in this book. And if anybody says, you know, oh, boy, I've read this Bible, I've learned everything I need to from it, well, they actually haven't. So being inquisitive. I want you to meet another one of our students. Her name is Miley Roberts. She's a student in the Illini Bluff School District. God has given her a desire to learn more about him and to share that knowledge with others. So let's hear her story.
I've recently gained a lot of faith, probably within the last year. I've always grown up going to church and singing at church, and I was born into a Christian family. But probably about a year ago, I was diagnosed with an eating disorder, and I went to a residential eating disorder facility, which I learned how to be on my own, but not only on my own, I learned to really grow closer to God because I needed somebody, and God was always there, and he was always there for me and just so loving, and he is the one who got me through everything I went through. It also started along with the struggles I've been through. I knew I wanted to teach others about the verse, Psalm 139:14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That really started the hunger, I guess, to really want to share the love of Jesus Christ with everybody I know, because I wanted them to feel the same love that I feel. So I started a Bible study with some swimmers after my swim team practice, and we have grown so much closer together, but we have most of all grown closer to God. I have a lot of friends that say that they've been learning a lot more, which I think learning and being taught things also helps me to know more about God, which helps me to know him better and to grow in my relationship with him. Some topics we do a lot of, we just finished a mental health series just about how God can overcome any mental illness. And now we're starting Philippians, which will be super fun. I really like Philippians. So yeah, we are just gonna start some series, and we also play like a game after just to really engage with each other and with God. It has really taught me that we are all children of God that are united in him, and he's the Almighty, and he can get us through anything, and he can teach us anything. If we really set our mind to it, we can do all things through Christ.
Wow, praise God for Miley. As I listen to both her and Carson, and, you know, even from our third student that we'll hear from, you know, and I see their desire, again, to take their faith and share it with others. I wish I had that kind of boldness when I was their age. You know, I wanted to get good grades and stay out of the principal's office, but I am just so encouraged when I see our students and our children who say, I love Jesus and I want to share him with you. And they're willing to take those risks. Listen, it's not easy. We know that. It's not easy for us as adults, but I'm just so encouraged with what I see God doing in our student ministries. So we've talked about having a trusting spirit. We've talked about being inquisitive. The third characteristic of childlike faith is a forgiving heart. And I love how quickly and easily children are to forgive. Not always, but often so much easier than when we start to get older. As adults, we can hold on to our hurts and we keep people who have wronged us at arm's length or beyond. As a dad, I'm thankful there were many times where I had to go to my children and just ask them to forgive me and to say, I'm sorry. And, you know, they would just, you know, again, in that childlike faith, say, we forgive you, Daddy, give you a hug. And it's just so incredible to see how easily they're willing to forgive. Now, my kids are older. They make me work for it a little bit more. But when Jesus says to become like little children, he's calling us to be gracious and merciful, just as our Father in heaven to us is gracious and merciful. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And I think we could all say that. Listen, if I were the only person on earth, my sin was bad enough to have to put Jesus on the cross. But yet God, in his mercy and grace, offers us forgiveness. And we have wronged him greater than anyone could wrong us. Most of us probably know this, but a way to remember the difference between grace and mercy is grace is getting what we don't deserve. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve to be reconciled in my relationship with God. I don't deserve the hope of eternal life. But because God is gracious, he offers that to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. Whereas mercy is not getting what we do deserve. I do deserve death. I do deserve separation from God. I do deserve judgment. But because our God is merciful, we don't have to face that through our faith in Jesus Christ. And as we have been shown forgiveness, as we have been shown grace and mercy by Almighty God, having childlike faith means that we are willing to show that same to those who wrong us. Having a forgiving heart. Well, I'm going to bring this passage in for a landing. Jesus points to these three things as what constitutes greatness. This is the pattern that we're to follow in our relationship with God. But I don't want us to miss this important part of what Jesus says. Jesus says that our entrance into the kingdom of heaven is dependent upon us being childlike in our faith. True faith is what he's looking for in us. He's not looking for lip service. He's looking for true faith, faith that, like a child, is free from doubt, it's free from cynicism, it's free from half-heartedness. It's where we recognize, God, you are God, your Son is the Son of God, and I just accept fully who you are and what you have done, and we embrace that salvation. Verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. See, the disciples, they wanted to know how to be considered great. What will make me great? Sometimes children are often dismissed. Better if they're seen and not heard. But Jesus says, you want to be great? He calls that little child in amongst them, and he says, you need to have faith like this child. That is what will make you great. Jesus, recognizing this, he calls us to a position of humility, which in turn makes us great in the sight of God. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and what? He will lift you up. So if we want to be great, we need to have the humility of that of a child. Verse 5 is where Jesus reminds us of the need to treat all with love and kindness, child or adult. For how will the world know that we are his disciples? By how we love one another. Love is how we can draw people in so that the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can change their heart. And what a privilege and calling we have to serve God and others in this way. Well, it's time to meet our final student. And he's not up on the video board, but he's here with us today. You've seen him earlier leading worship. but I want to welcome Logan Rademacher up to the stage. Give him a hand. All right, Logan, it's good to have you with us today. And just to kind of help everybody get to know you, why don't you just share a little bit about yourself?
Hey, everyone. As you heard, my name is Logan. First of all, thank you all for being here. I'm surprised even now you're all still awake. Though I noticed there is a little bit less of you than was at the 9 o'clock service. I don't know why. It's just like, I don't know why you would get up so early. I had to get up at 5:30 this morning. It was so much fun. Now, I've been going to this church since I was about 3 years old. I've had three other siblings come follow me through here pretty much their entire life. It's been an interesting journey to watch this church grow and expand in a lot of what they do here. It's been amazing to watch all of that.
Well, Logan, you have grown up in a home where, you know, Jesus has been the center. Maybe share for us some of your earliest understandings of who God was, who Jesus was.
From a very early age, so I accepted him around like 3-4 years old. I don't remember anyone specifically telling me about it, like a story from like Sunday school and all that. I just remember reading about it and going to parents and saying, this feels right, I want to do this. It felt right to accept him, to get into a relationship with him. And I remember that day I ended up accepting him and brought one of my brothers along with me that he accepted that day too. I would consider him a father. I've viewed him as a father throughout much of my life since around 7. My dad kind of hopped out. He wasn't there as much anyway, though, so it was kind of easier to think of God as more of a father figure since there wasn't as solid a presence there in the first place. And over the past couple of years, okay, I'm going to try to use this analogy. Like, when a father and a son, as the son grows older, they get into more of like a friendship relationship. While still having the father presence there, they get more on slightly equal terms, more like more of a friendship.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to put it, that, you know, he's your heavenly father, but he's also your friend. And, again, I think, you know, you or anyone is able to get to that point by just having that childlike faith. So you shared a little bit about how you came to faith in Christ. You were three. How has your walk with the Lord changed and increased over the years?
I'd have to say it was definitely a good thing to be solid with, help carry me through, like, going to place, uncertain situations. With my, like, it's been a little uncertain for the past, like, nearly a decade, where I'm going to be going, what I'm doing. He has been a solid presence there through everything that I've been through, wherever I'm going, he's always there. And I think that is definitely going to be carrying out farther on my life to the point where it's like, he could literally send me anywhere right now, wherever he has a plan for me. I'd be cool with it because I know that that's where he wants me to be and he's going to be able to get me through it.
So maybe where, as you and God, you know, go through this journey of saying, okay, God, how have you gifted me? And obviously we've seen some of the ways he's gifted you today. What do you think might be some ways he could be leading you in your future?
Now, when it comes to my future, I don't know very much about where I'm heading long term. I do know one specific thing that he has told me Okay, several years ago. Anyone else here has heard of Kingdom Surge? We actually started talking about it here in Northwoods a couple years back. I remember had something come up in my mind when they came around. At the point, it was kind of like a pipe dream almost of just like, I want to actually plant a church myself somewhere out in another country. I don't know where, I don't know when, but I want to do it myself. But quickly after that, I soon looked at it as like, oh, that's probably not going to happen. Recently, within like the past year or so, when they came back and we started partnering with them, it came back in my mind. It came resurfaced and was like, this is going to happen. I'm somehow feeling like this is where he wants me to go. He still wants me to go in person, wants me to do that. I still don't know where that's going to be. All I do know is that he's going to be right there with me, taking me through that whole thing.
Awesome. Hey, Logan, the last thing that I'd just like you to share is, how can we be praying for you and the students and children of Northwoods and our community? What are some ways that we can be lifting you up in prayer?
I would say one way for me would be continue to have God give me points that are challenging to push me forward, because within the past couple years, he has definitely challenged me to step up in a lot of areas. I'm sensing that that's going to come to a point here pretty soon where he's going to be sending me something rather big. I have no idea what it may be, but I feel like he's preparing me for something very big in the future. And for some of these students, I would have to say pray for the peace right now, because I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety. There has been for a long time. You have to pray for peace, because we're getting to a point where we're going to be going out into the world. We're going to be like everyone out here. We're going to be getting a job. We're going to be going forward, college, whatever the case may be. And it's more uncertain now than it has been for a long time. There have been certain points in history where it's been very uncertain times, but I think we're getting more so to that, because as this country started abandoning God, we don't have as many things to solidly rely on.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And so as we wrap up again, you know, praying that you guys, as you go out and as you face things that maybe I didn't have to face when I was your age, but as you go out and move along in this next step in your life, and even for those that are younger, that are still growing up in the elementary age, you know, that they would keep a childlike faith and just lovingly continue to follow Jesus Christ. Guys, childlike faith. God says, hey, have a trusting spirit. Be inquisitive. Don't stop learning about who I am, who you are, and what your purpose is that I have for you. And have that forgiving heart. As we've been shown mercy and grace, therefore go and show that to others. So as we close, I'm going to ask that you would stand with me. And if you have a son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter, with you here in the auditorium, maybe just place your hand on them. I'm going to pray for our children and students. If you don't, maybe just lift up a hand and let's just bless the children and students of Northwoods for what God is and going to do through them. And so, Lord, I just pray and thank you for the fact that you are working. The news, the media, life events might say, God, the Bible, Christianity, the fire is getting dimmer and dimmer, but that is not true. And today, praise God, we see an example to show that you are alive and you are working, and you're working in the lives of our young people. And I'm so excited to be a part of that. I pray for the children of Northwoods, for our other campuses, for the children in our community. Father, that as Logan has shared, as they, whether they're, you know, getting ready to go out and go to school or look for a job, or whether they're still younger and they're still living at home, Father, that you would give them direction. Father, that you would give them boldness. We have seen that today in our students, that they would have boldness to share the love that they have of Jesus Christ with others. Father, that you would help them to trust you, that they would always have that trusting spirit, even as they get older. Father, that they would never stop desiring to learn more about who you are, who they are, and the purpose you have called them to. And Father, that they would be able to properly demonstrate grace and mercy to others, that by their forgiving heart, that others might realize how much you love us because of your grace and mercy. So we just lift up the children. We lift up the students. And thank you and for letting us be a part of it. And I just pray for every home, Father, that you would be at the center, that you would work through moms and dads, grandparents, siblings. Father, that you would continue the work. It is not finished. And we look forward to seeing these students that are up on stage today in a few years being the future leaders of the church for the glory and praise of Jesus Christ. I ask this in his name. Amen. Folks, thank you for being with us today. Listen, we're excited. We want you to come back next week. Pastor Cal will be here. But if you see one of our young students, just tell them praise God, encourage them. God bless you. Have a good rest of the day. Hey, thank you so much for joining us here at Northwoods this morning. Next Gen Weekend, the students did a fantastic job. Thank you for praying for them. Thank you for encouraging them and supporting them. And we also want to welcome you back next week as well. Pastor Cal will be joining us. And so make sure to tune in to Northwoods Church next Sunday. So also, listen, maybe you have seen our service today and you might be saying that you feel like maybe pouring into the lives of children or students is something God is calling you to do. Go to northwoods.church or go to your connection card and indicate that, because you out there might be called to help build the future of the church. So God bless you. Logan, you want to say anything?
Well, I got to say thank you all so much for joining us this week. I hope you got had an amazing time here, got something good out of the message that you did absolutely amazing at. Love that. Just all I got to say is God bless the rest of you guys' week, and see you next week.